Welcome to Solder Smoke, where we talk about all things electronic and geeky. We meet on Echolink and swap ideas related to workbench radio projects. If you have any questions about this podcast or suggestions for future casts, send a note to soldersmoke@yahoo.com. Our webpage is www.geocities.com/soldersmoke. As always, have fun, melt solder, and pass along your ideas. So let's get started.
Hello, M0HBR, KL7R. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Good, Mike. Good, Mike. Good morning. Good morning from London. Surprised to see you on here. You've been absent most of the week. I saw you connected to the QRP or group there. With my first cup of coffee here on a very cold London morning, cloudy. I can't see any stars or planets out there this morning. Just the bottoms of clouds. Won't be good for the Volkswagen solar power farm either. But we celebrated Thanksgiving yesterday. A few days late, the kids had to go to school on Thursday, so everybody is sort of in a post-turkey kind of haze right now. How are things there on the glacier? KL7R, M0HBR.
Oh, things are better. We had a typhoon or tail end of a typhoon come off the Pacific, and it just kept pumping water here. We had 12 or so inches of rain in a week or so, and a couple of days we're getting 2 inches a day, and everything was just kind of waterlogged. My shed in the backyard blew up, so I had to go rebuild that. But that gave me an excuse to come home early for Thanksgiving. We had turkey. Son came over, and really pretty nice time. It's gotten colder now. It's just below freezing. It's 27 now, so it's a lot nicer. The stars are out and everything. Really nice weather. Been listening to CQ Worldwide on CW. We had some pretty good propagation last night, then it kind of went bad today. But it's doing good now there. M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR. Yeah, I like the CW in the background. It's in keeping with my idea of having the rigs on in the in the background to provide a little bit more of a real ham radio feel, sort of background QRM. So I'm turning on my Drake 2B here, Mike, as we speak. Well, fine on the early home for Thanksgiving. Yeah, I guess every dark cloud has a silver lining, pun intended there. It's been unusually cold here, but for us, cold is anything approaches freezing. Doesn't get much below that here very often. London usually gets maybe one snowstorm a year, and it's, you know, usually a few inches of snow, and it covers the place and makes it look nice for about a half hour, and then it becomes a pain in the neck, but it quickly disappears. There you go. Look, there's some static rising in the background. Make it sound more like real radio. then the snow's gone. We got a new video camera, and I've been playing with that. Our last video camera was one of those big, clunky Sony things. Time flies. I didn't realize we had that thing for 9 years. And it was obviously time for an update. So my wife went out and got a new, one of these little small Sony video cameras. Man, what nice technology that is. I don't know if you play with these things, but there's all kinds of neat things you can do with that thing. And I find myself getting pulled into the fascinating world of video. But I'll probably inherit the old Sony, and I'm sure there's lots of great stuff I could do with that. So ATV may be the wave of the future here, Mike. There's a lot of activity in the UK on ATV. I've just never gotten around to look at it. But this has a potential for really maniacal ham radio activity, as you know. If you start getting into ATV, man, you're going over the deep end. You're getting into the hard stuff. Next thing, it'll be EME, KL7R, M0HBR.
Roger. I never got into video. Uh, I kind of looked at it marginally seriously last month. I was going through the latest ham AES and ham radio mags, and they had a little 440 meg, channel 54, whatever that is, transmitters, and I was thinking about it. We got a couple old dead cameras that I could dedicate to that. I'm sure one of them could be used. Actually, we're kind of cleaning up, so I don't know if we've got those cameras anymore. I'm pretty sure we gave them away. But don't think I'm interested in that. I'm definitely interested in Moonbounce. I gotta find some way to do it with invisible antennas. I don't really have a zoning restriction, but I try to keep my my wife happy. She's been unbelievably tolerant of my lab that I've been building up back here. And I do have pretty decent antennas up. I got a big loop antenna and vertical, and I think I'm at the envelope. Hey, I just sent you a link of what I'm going to give my son for Christmas. I made an LED BCD clock out of TTL. And I wonder if you got that link and if you could see that lead clock. And M0HBR, KL7R.
Yeah, KL7R, M0HBR. Yeah, okay, got the link. And I was sitting about here trying to move my screen around here. Hold on. Oh, I'm not good at this kind of stuff. Let's see. Minimizing. I'm not good at minimizing. Oh, there we go. Hold on. Let me see. Get it up here. Put on the thing there. Hold on. All right. I was just looking at Hackaday. I told you we were featured on Hackaday. There we go. Yeah, I got a... Let's see. Couldn't find any results. I don't know if the link worked or if I copied it right. Hold on. Put it in there. I got... I think you might have forgotten to give me a colon in there somewhere. Hold on. Let me see. Stand by. We're having technical difficulties. Yeah, I think we're missing two dots, but don't worry. We have the technology. Hold on. There we go. Wow, now that is something. Now that is a real project. Yeah, but this reminds me of something, Mike. I had meant to tell you that we were discussing breadboards and breadboard construction the other day, and I think we were kind of talking past each other because you were obviously talking about this kind of breadboard, and I was talking about breadboards, you know, breadboards that you stole from Mama's kitchen, and you screwed the radio parts into. That's the kind of breadboards I'm using. Yours are much more advanced, but that is cool. Let's see. All right. So this on ThinkGeek. All right. Oh, look at that. I'm scrolling down. That is neat. I'm getting envious of all the digital magic here. As you know, I'm stuck in the analog world. I was trying to explain this to my son yesterday. We pulled out an old junk motherboard, and I had it sitting next to the 20-meter double sideband transceiver I've been working on. And I said, look at the difference. Look at all these little leads coming out of these chips. Think of the millions of transistors. I said, I'm going to stick with the old stuff. Oh, that is neat. I'm going to have to take a look at that in more detail a little bit later, but the pictures are great. KL7R and 0HBR.
All right. Well, yeah, I left out the double dots there, HTTP, and instead of HTTP colon. Anyway, you figured it out. Anyway, that's what I did. I found this site on the net that had an LED clock, you know, that displays 8421 time, you know, and it's got all these ripple counters, and his design was basically this, but I had not a single chip that he had other than an AND gate. everything else is all my own design. Basically, I just followed his lead and did everything from scratch. And I made a schematic using a schematic program that you can use. Let's see if I can find the name here. It's not SWCAD. It's Express PCB. Those guys have a schematic. If you get Express PCB, it has Express SCH, which is a schematic program, and it works really well. And so I whipped it out after I made it on the breadboard. I made the schematic, and then I destroyed the breadboard, and then I wire wrapped it up for production. And I'm pretty happy with it, but it displays seconds in binary. The yellow LEDs on the right are seconds. The green ones on the right are 10 seconds. So the yellow ones count up from 0 to 9, and then they roll over. And the green ones roll up from 0 to 5, and then roll over. So you have 60 seconds there. And then there's the red and the green for the hours. That's another 60. And for the minutes, and then for the hours they're yellow, and those count up to 11. And then on the lower left is a clock oscillator chip, and the bottom four chips there are there's one that's the clock oscillator chip is like 1.2 megahertz, and then you divide that down by 4096 and you get 300 hertz. You divide that by 10 and you get 30. Divide that by 10, you get 3. Divide that by 3, and you get 1. So you've got the 1 hertz time base, and then are we doubling? Hello. Oh no. Boy, I'm definitely gonna have to edit this podcast. I'm lost in transmit. That's okay. Anyway, the bottom three, there's a divide by whatever, and then there's the four counters at the top, and you just program them up. If you want to, like on the right one, if you count from 0 to 9, what you do is you take the output pins, and when it gets to 10 or 8 and 2, when the 8 and the 2 pins come on, you AND them together and stick them into reset, and it resets the chip, so it counts from 0 to 9 instead of, and you do the same thing for the 5 and the 10 and the 5 and then the 11. Anyway, it took a lot harder to do than it did to say. None of the chips I had worked, and I had to go downloading all these different spec sheets for the chips I did have, and. So, anyway, Radio Shack in Juneau, Alaska had a wire wrap tool and wire wrap wire, if you believe that. Back to you, Bill. M0HBR, KL7R. I'm going to have to figure out how to disconnect here.
There you go. Yeah, you went into the receive mode. Getting some CW URM here. Mike, I guess you can hear it in the background. We're on 40 meters. That's the contest. The loudest one's an Italian station. I'll leave that on for a few minutes just to simulate real radio here on the fiber optic cable. Well, fine. That sounds like a great project. You lost me there about the first description of the first counter. But amazing stuff, and I'm sure your son's going to appreciate it. It's a neat gift. Some of these discussions of old computers, I think, were on QRPL not long ago. And guys were talking about the wire wrap days. I'm jealous that you have a Radio Shack there. You know how lucky you are. You have no equivalent really here in the UK. The store called Maplin's is supposed to be an equivalent, but it doesn't even come close. And it's ironic, but You wouldn't expect it, but it was easier for me to get radio parts when we were out in the on the island of San Miguel in the Azores than it is here in London. It's pathetic. Actually, it was a lot easier to get radio parts in Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic. But we had a Radio Shack there. But everybody, you know, they all talk bad about Radio Shack, but I'll tell you what, when the one nearby you is no longer available, you're going to miss it. that's a neat project. I'm going to have to read up on that. You might get me inspired into the world of digital logic. I've tried a couple of times. It's just I find myself going back into analog. Anyway, well, Moon Bounce, that's not for me. Not until they make the signal strength a whole lot better and allow conversations like this one on the moon bounce path. The QSOs that they have right now, where it's over the course of a day and exchange three letters, maybe it's not my kind of thing. I mean, I appreciate the technical challenge, but at the end of the day, you're not really able to talk to anybody. You're able to exchange a kind of an abbreviated signal report, but not for me. Let me see. I'm going to turn down the QRM here. I think our simulation is about run its course. Let me know if you heard that stuff when I turn it over to you. But now, of course, they've got the new software, so you can do it without quite so much of a monster-looking antenna up there. Although that seemed like half the fun. on TV, I came across an interesting thing. Arnie Coro in Cuba, the guy who works for Radio Havana Cuba, he's got a great website. It hasn't been updated in a long time, but great articles on there. It's all very how to do great things with simple stuff. And he was talking about how to use an ordinary broadcast band TV receiver for sort of shortwave listening via meteor scatter, not shortwave, I guess UHF listening via meteor scatter. The idea is you aim your antenna and you tune to for a TV station that's far beyond the horizon, and you wait for the meteors to come in and provide the path. And that sounded really interesting. I've always wanted to do something like that with the meteors. I made a really quick, brief, and hopelessly underpowered effort to do that when we were in the Azores. We had a station on the island that was about three islands over, and we were using 2-meter APRS gear. And at one point, we decided just to point our antennas at each other and leave the beacons on, and see if the meteors would ever allow for reception. Didn't work out. We were hopelessly underpowered and under antennaed, but that kind of stuff is interesting. So a lot of technical challenges are out there, EME will put you in the big leagues in the geek department, Mike. But you do have to watch out for the antennas, because it can get kind of wild. Maybe people will think you're part of the HARP project up there. KL7R, M0HBR.
Oh, Roger. Shoot, if I was in Europe, that's what I'd be doing. I'd be 2-meter or 440 tropo or meteor or auroral scatter. I mean, there's a lot of activity over there on those bands. And you're just an easy hop to all those countries. Seems like that'd be a ball to put up. I bet on 6 meters you'd have signals all the time. You'd be into everybody's TV, but I bet you'd have a ball on 6 meters or two. Have you ever looked at the DX clusters? They have 2-meter and 440 connections that guys are making meteor scatter and tropo scatter over there and auroral scatter, and there's guys over there doing 10 centimeter work. Pretty impressive to me. I'd love to try that. And if I was over there and HF was bad, I'd be all over UHF, I think, trying to talk to an Italian on 440 there, Bill. Well, let's see. What else did I do? I fixed an old counter. Fixed the logic probe. I built a return loss bridge. I think I told you about that last time. I guess I've been working on this counter. So I just finished that just an hour ago. I was up most of the night, couldn't sleep, so I worked from like 2 in the morning till 7 in the morning, and then I slept from 7 till noon, and then I worked till about an hour or two ago, and I finally got to work it. So, yeah, it's if you're an insomniac, ham radio offers benefits there. M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR. Yeah, there's something about late night radio. Although I'm more of an early morning, much more of an early morning radio kind of guy. I somehow if I'm tired, I just can't get going on a project. So usually I'm up here, I'm in the shack from 5 o'clock in the morning on, and kids usually wake up around 8. So I got a good block of time in here to work on things before they come on in, and then the operation shifts. Find another return loss bridge. I wonder if you got if you looked at that article I sent. I hope it made it through the pipes okay. On the LMS least mean square. Bridge in QST. I hope that's an interesting project. What else? I got an idea. I told you we play with the kite aerial photography, taking pictures from the kite. I've been doing it with a little 555 timer circuit that fires the camera every minute. So you send the kite up with a 36 shot roll of film, and the timer in the course of a half hour or so fires all the pictures, and you come back and hopefully you get a few good ones. But I'm thinking now there's a better way, and we've been playing around with some of my son's radio controlled cars, and that got me thinking, wouldn't it be better just to have a kind of a long distance remote actuator radio, of course. And I'm thinking, the easiest way to do it is just a little crystal controlled transmitter, maybe a real simple crystal controlled direct conversion receiver, with a relay or a transistor switch at the end that'll close the contact on the camera and fire it. Probably be a lot easier than the 555 timer circuit. Plus you could be just sitting there watching the thing bounce around, and when it's in roughly the right position, you just hit the button. You end up wasting a lot of film with the timer because it starts shooting as soon as you release the kite, and it's shooting when the thing is pretty low to the ground, and I don't know, it might be more fun just to do it by radio control. So this one I'm looking at now, just kicking the idea around, maybe, I don't know, with a pick a frequency, something that's not too active. Reading a book about the rovers on Mars, Roving Mars by Steve Squires. Good book. Real geek appeal. I recommend it. on VHF and UHF over here, I don't know. It's not my thing. 6 meters, I played with 6 meters when I was in Virginia. And you build all the equipment, and it seems like at least 85% of the time you've built a device for listening to static. And then it briefly comes open, and everybody is all very excited and everything else, but then it goes back to dead band. So I wasn't too enthused about 6. 2 meters is a little bit more active here, and I've toyed around with it. And there's a kind of a VHF AM group here, a renaissance of interest in 2 meter AM. But most of them are so far from London that I'm out of range, and I've actually got the converter here so I could listen. I have a little one-element, two-meter loop up on the roof, and I've never heard any of the AM guys. I can hear some of the FM activity, and I worked an occasional station on FM Simplex on 2 meters here. The 2 meter repeaters are totally insane. They seem to have been completely taken over by crazy people. So I stay away from that. And I've never got up to 440, anything like that. So, again, I mean, I must be getting old because I'm getting set in my ways. It's HF, analog. I'm not into CW, though, so I guess I'm a little bit more advanced. As far as UHF and UHF skip, I don't think my receiving system and antennas are even good enough to detect it. It might be there, but it's probably going right past me. I just hear the strong locals, and that's about it. I guess I get out to the 35 miles sometimes, but I think that's mostly because I'm up on the fourth floor here, and then some of the guys are operating from the tops of hills. But I go out into the Thames Valley a little bit. Let's pause here for a Sutter Smoke announcement. If anybody's actually listening to us on their iPod or on their computer or anything else, please send us some email feedback. We're really interested to know if you're listening to this. My email is n2cqr@awrl.net. That's November 2 Charlie Quebec Radio at awrl.net. And I'll let Mike provide his email if he's so inclined. But we've been doing this for a while now, and we've got exactly one email feedback. And we really, really appreciated that. Our friend in Tulsa, if he's listening, hello to you again. But we'd like to hear more feedback. So if anybody's out there listening, please shoot us an email and let us know. Back to you, Mike. KL7R, M0HBR.
Okay, Bill. I'm kind of winding down here. I just realized it's 10:30. I've been kind of just playing back here. I didn't realize it was that late in the evening. So, I did get your emails. I didn't look at so much at the one you sent. I kind of read it a little bit, but I did find the QEX article, and I read that pretty closely. On the sound card based impedance bridge, LMS bridge by Stieber. I did a search on QEX for Stieber, and that came back. And I read that article pretty closely, and I'm really interested in it. I started looking at it, and I was thinking about building up the circuit, and then I got off on this clock tangent, but definitely want to do that. That's what I asked my son for Christmas. It was for a better sound card. I want a 24-bit Sound Blaster Live card, and that's what Stieber specced as a good functioning card for his impedance bridge. I've been having troubles with the my DC to daylight general coverage. Double sideband receiver there. If I run SD radio, it works fine. If I run Rocky, it works fine. If I run the one that they recommend, Power SDR, is what the AMQRP Club recommends for their Soft Rock 40 radio. I get terrible buffer underruns on my sound card. Sounds horrible. So I switched to SD radio, which works really well. But anyway, I need a better sound card, and I think if I got the Sound Blaster 24-bit, I think that'll solve my problems. I am thinking seriously about ordering the new version 5 Soft Rock, just to play with it. Let's see what's different about it than the one that I built. So I'd like to get another sound card. Anyway, looking at that impedance bridge, that's pretty interesting. He was talking about the 3-voltmeter technique and the graphical solution for finding impedance and knowing nothing but a voltmeter, having nothing but a voltmeter. And the impedance bridge that he made with the sound card is basically injecting audio into into an unknown impedance and calculating using the least mean square technique, whatever that means, to come up with the solution that gives the least error and that's the proper solution for the impedance. And so I definitely want to try that. Anyway, digging around in that QAX article, I found another article that he wrote that was using a sound card as a curve tracer. Remember we talked about the octopus curve tracer that would draw a Zener diode on your XY oscilloscope? And I was thinking about making one to work in a sound card. Well, he did the same sort of thing, only he did it different than the way I was going to do it. I was going to just plug an oscilloscope with XY into my sound card and basically the octopus connected to the XY of the sound card. But he did it differently. He had the circuit that he built and was using the sound card to do the curve tracing of Zeners and diodes and whatever. It wouldn't do the multi-step curve tracing, which I think would be interesting. But anyway, I had to pay Circuit Seller Magazine $1.50 using PayPal to download the article, and I did that and got the articles down, got the software down for both of them, and I'm about ready to make an order for that new soft rock and for a bunch of picks and for a bunch of parts. So it'll be a busy winter here if I get all the stuff I want to get. M0HBR, I'm winding down. Bill, thanks for another nice visit. Have a good morning and hope you have a good day there and some fun in the shack. Conditions aren't great right now. They were kind of great yesterday, but they're not great now, and hopefully it'll pick up. M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR, with 40 meters CW in the background. Yeah. All right. Well, it's 10:30 at night there in the Juneau area. It's going on 7:30 in the morning here in downtown London. So it's probably time for you to get in the horizontal polarization mode there, right? Enjoyed it as always. Covered a lot of ground there. Good luck with the all the digital projects. I mean, you might get me converted here soon. I'll work by myself dealing with logic chips and gates and all that. I don't know. Great. I'll let you go. Thanks very much for the contact and for generating some more solder smoke here. And we'll do it again real soon. Have a good evening. KL7R 73 from M0HPR.
Okay, Bill. You mentioned your camera triggering using a radio and a direct conversion receiver and a relay, and that reminded me that I took a pair of these throwaway CBs, you know, little plastic CBs, and I took the guts out of one and used it as a receiver and stuck it into one of those throwaway styrofoam airplanes. And the other CB handy talkie had a button on it that would generate a tone for like Morse code practice. So I had the thing set up to where when I pushed the tone on the transmitter, the receiver detected the tone and converted that into DC, which drove a relay. And the relay arm pulled on a piece of fishing line and bent a playing card on the tail of the styrofoam airplane. So I could make the thing fly left. It would slowly bank to the right generally, and then I could hard bank left, you know, slowly bank right and then hard bank left. That was the control I had, was a single control on the rudder. Anyway, I got up on a cliff and I threw that off the cliff and the wings bent up into a U because of all the weight of the receiver, but it flew nicely into the top of a tree. Till next time, Bill. M0HBR, KL7R.
You are a true. I guess you'll take this as a compliment, Mike. But you're in the geek champion class there with that one. great. KL7R. Remind me next time to tell you about the fuse. I used to have to burn a fuse on the back of my airplanes, and when the fuse got to the fuselage, it would cut a rubber band and cause the rear stabilizer to flip up. That was the high technology that we were using. KL7R, it was early PR, it's great.